What if Apple's comeback didn't start in California, but in a Singaporean factory once owned by a steel company? This is the Partnership Playbook, a podcast helping sales and marketing leaders secure high-value partnerships that finally unlock business growth and reclaim time. I'm your coach, Phil Hayes-Sinclair. Welcome to the show. Now, if you've only got 2 minutes, let me cut to the chase. In today's episode, we dissect Apple's transformative partnership with NatSteel Electronics in the late 1990s. It's a rarely discussed high-impact move that helped Apple escape financial disaster. By offloading circuit board manufacturing to NatSteel, Apple reduced cost, accelerated production, and laid the groundwork for one of the most efficient supply chains in the world. This story reveals how a relatively unknown Singaporean firm became the backbone of Apple's hardware, right as Steve Jobs and Tim Cook rebuilt the company. So in 1997, Apple was bleeding cash. Its factories were underutilized, products were delayed. So what did they do? They sold their own circuit board plants to a company you've probably never heard of called NatSteel Electronics. The twist? That one move kicked off a supply chain transformation that would eventually power the iPod, the iPhone, and everything we associate with Apple today. But this isn't just a history lesson, it's a blueprint. If you're a leader juggling in-house complexity, this episode will show you how the right partnership can become a growth engine, not a risk. Now let's look at the three lessons that come from this story relating to NatSteel Electronics and Apple. The first one is to outsource complexity. And Apple didn't partner with NatSteel because it was weak. It partnered because it realized that making circuit boards wasn't core to its future. The key is this: Apple transferred a complex, resource-heavy function because it no longer offered a competitive advantage. That freed Apple to double down on what it did best: product design, marketing, and user experience. So ask yourself, what part of your operation is mission-critical, but not mission-defining? That's your candidate for strategic outsourcing. The second lesson is to build proximity into your partnerships. Apple and NatSteel didn't just sign a supply deal, they co-located. NatSteel built factories right next to Apple's assembly plants in California, Ireland, and Singapore. That reduced lead times, cut shipping costs, and allowed just-in-time delivery of critical parts. Today, proximity doesn't just mean physical space. It means communication, access, and responsiveness. Are your partners embedded in your flow of work or siloed away and just waiting orders? True proximity accelerates everything from decisions to pivots and to growth. And the third lesson is to make your growth their growth and vice versa. By 2000, Apple represented 53% of NatSteel's revenue. That's more than vendor loyalty, that's mutual dependency. And it worked for a time. NatSteel scaled globally to meet Apple's needs, and Apple relied on their speed, quality, and execution. But here's the kicker. When Selectron acquired NatSteel in 2001, Apple had to adapt and fast. The lesson here is that deep partnerships should be built to scale, but they should also be designed to evolve. That means clear performance thresholds, shared roadmaps, and exit criteria if the context changes. If your growth outpaces your partner's or theirs outpaces yours, do you still have a plan? So let's take a step back in history. Apple had a long history of building its own computers, including logic boards. But by the mid-90s, that approach was outdated and very expensive. Steve Jobs returned to Apple in 1997. Tim Cook came on board in 1998. And their mandate? To slash costs, boost margins, and streamline operations. Apple sold its Singapore PCB, or printed circuit board manufacturing plant, to NatSteel in July of 1997. In return, NatSteel became Apple's exclusive supplier for its main logic boards, essentially the heart of every Mac. This was more than a transaction. It was a re-architecture of Apple's global manufacturing. So what made this partnership make strategic sense? Apple got to offload expensive, aged infrastructure. NatSteel gained a marquee client and scaled its EMS operations globally. NatSteel positioned factories near Apple's assembly lines to support just-in-time logistics. And the companies worked hand-in-hand on production ramp-ups, like for the 1998 iMac, which relied on NatSteel for all of its logic boards. And so what did success look like? Well, inventory days dropped from 30 to 6 and then to 2. Production lead times were slashed. Apple could roll out products faster with fewer supply chain hiccups. And NatSteel, for its part, grew rapidly, employing 12,000 people globally and operating 90 SMT lines across Asia. The partnership soared seamlessly until the market evolved again. In 2001, Selectron acquired NatSteel, and Apple suddenly found itself tied to a new parent company, one with different priorities. This revealed the fragility of dependency. If your key partner changes ownership or strategy, you must be ready to pivot. Apple eventually shifted logic board production to other suppliers, including Foxconn, who could assemble the final product. So what was the lesson? Even the best partnerships require built-in flexibility. So to wrap up, as a leader, this is what you can take away today. Step one, identify complexity that's slowing you down. Outsource it, but do it with partners who think like part of your business. Step two, collapse the distance, physically and operationally, between your team and theirs. And step three, build growth-aligned incentives. Your partner should scale because of you, not in spite of you. If it worked for a scrappy, near-bankrupt Apple in 1997, it could work for you too. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, but before you go, I have a question for you. Do you ever feel stuck, unsure how to move forward with a partnership opportunity? Maybe you're circling the same conversations, hoping momentum will magically appear. Or worse, saying yes to things just to do something. Well, you're not alone. The truth is, most business leaders aren't short on opportunities. They're short on next steps that actually work. That's why I created something for you. It's called the 100 Partnership Tactics. It's a free collection of proven, practical moves used by high-performing CEOs, founders, and sales leaders to turn talk into traction. Inside, you'll find exactly what to say, do, and build at every stage of a partnership, so you can stop guessing and start growing. You'll find the link to the tactics in the show notes. It's free, it's battle-tested, and it could save you months of wasted time. And so thanks again for tuning into the Partnership Playbook. I'm your coach, Phil Hayes Sinclair. I'll see you in the next episode.